WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Marty Moss Cohen. Beginning Monday, the Republican Party will get its best primetime shot to convince the nation to vote for George Bush. My guest, Tom Brokaw, is heading for the Astrodome in Houston, which is being transformed to accommodate the thousands of Republicans and journalists expected in that hot and humid city. The three major networks have reduced their coverage, preferring not to preempt all of their regular primetime fare. But once again, NBC and PBS will collaborate on earlier evening convention coverage. From 8 until 10 in the evening, PBS viewers will be able to watch the low-key Jim Lehrer and Robert McNeil of the McNeil-Lehrer NewsHour interact with the more upbeat commercial team of John Chancellor and Tom Brokaw. Tom Brokaw is the host of NBC's Nightly NewsHour and a veteran of political conventions. We called him to find out how he's preparing for next week's convention coverage.
I organize myself in one single black notebook, heavily indexed. I divide it along the personalities: Bush, Quayle, Ford, Reagan, Mrs. Bush, and then I have sections called themes, in which I try to break it down into the issues of the day, the economy, abortion, the state of the party. And then I have another section that I simply call lines, and those lines may be quotes from Republican Party hardliners who say this is still the Reagan Party, for example. That's Vin Weber this morning quoted in the paper, and I try to load that up. And then I load up what I call my computer, my head, by absorbing as much as I can. And I've been doing this for a while now, and I'm always a little astonished at kind of what filters through when I get there in the anchor booth.
Kind of like studying for SATs?
I suppose, although it's been a while since I've done that, and I'd like to think I'm going to do this better than I did on my SATs.
Okay. Well, with all the goings on before the convention, and I'm thinking about the appointment of Baker to lead the Bush campaign, the issues about abortion, affairs, what do you see the big issues being coming into this convention?
Well, I think you touched on it at the beginning with the reappointment of Jim Baker, which is that we'll all be looking to see how he tightens the organization, which has really been a shambles by all descriptions of those people within the campaign and those of us on the outside watching it and dealing with it. So I think organizationally he's going to have to pull it together, and then he's going to have to decide what is the message that George Bush wants to convey and how is he going to convey it. There is a bit of a schism in the party right now because a lot of the people who still have their hands on the convention machinery, that is the platform and the speakers and that kind of thing, are old Reagan Republicans, and they want the Reagan Party to continue what they think of as the Reagan Revolution to go on. George Bush has always been a kind of an assimilated member of that branch of the party. He's played his role very well, but the question is he in political peril if he continues in that way?
Well, how do you get around the picture that the party wants the public to see?
Oh, you do that with analysis, and you do that by, you know, providing context. I think, our job is not just to be a mirror there, just to hold it up and let them say what they want to say. We're constantly questioning the principles, and we're providing our own analysis. It doesn't mean that we're just naysaying for the sake of naysaying. We're just trying to put it in some context.
What would you say about this marriage, as you called it, between NBC and PBS? How have you learned to work together?
It began with a very good foundation because we all have a personal affection one for the other. Not just the principals who are on the air, Robin and Jim and John Chancellor and me, but the people behind the scenes. Les Crystal, who's their producer, used to be the president of NBC News. Judy Woodruff used to work for us. Charlene Hunter Gold is one of my best friends in New York. Mark Shields has been a pal of mine for a long, long time. David Gergen was a big source of mine when he was in the White House. So we have a very strong personal relationship and shared values, I think.
Was it something to get used to the non-commercial pace of PBS?
A little bit. I think that we found a common ground. I think that we met them halfway. I think the first night it was probably more of the stately pace of PBS, and then they kind of stepped on their accelerator a little more, and we adjusted our own shifting, and we found a pretty good middle ground for us. You know, I'm grateful to have that chance to do things at some length.
Well, do you miss commercials at all in that they do give a breather every now and then? They give you a minute or two to collect your thoughts.
Yeah, but conventions are filled with speakers who give you the same.
Okay. What do you think President Bush is going to have to do at this convention? And do you think his speech is going to be the most important thing that he can contribute to the convention?
Yeah, it's probably the single most important thing that he'll do. But I think that there's a kind of a larger challenge before them, which is the big picture that they present at the convention. He's got to find another way of connecting to the American people besides the phrase, "I hear you." I think that only triggers the reaction in the minds of too many Americans. Where have you been? This has been going on for a long time, the recession and these complaints that we have. So I think what the Republican Party has to do is decide what it is and how it wants to get on with the business. The danger for the Republicans is that they will become, at their convention, victims of what can only be described as a kind of Democratic disease, is that they will be so divided between the middle Republicans and the right Republicans, those to the right, that they will come out of there with a muddled message and lots of petty squabbling.
You said that Bush really has to get beyond the "I care" message to the American people. How can he do that? I mean, is it literally just a matter of choosing other words?
Yes, it's that, and some specific programs and showing some compassion. You know, I have said publicly and otherwise, I think he has to spell out what his vision for the country is. I thought that it just was astonishing that, a little more than a year ago when he won Operation Desert Storm, in effect, and had the country in his hands, that he didn't go to the land in that appearance before Congress, reach over Congress and say to the American people, "We've demonstrated what we can do in a war in a far-off and hostile place, and now we must turn our attention to those problems bedevil us here at home."
Let me ask you about some questions that were asked of President Bush this week by NBC's Stone Phillips on Dateline NBC, asking Bush about whether he'd had an affair, and asking questions about abortions, about whether what he would do if his granddaughter was pregnant and had an abortion. Do you see that there are appropriate questions for a sitting president and appropriate questions for someone that's running for president?
I certainly think the abortion question is an appropriate question. It is, one of the principal themes of this Republican Party, and it is something that is debated with great emotion, and it's an enormously important issue to a great many Americans, men and women. And the president's message on abortion over the years has been slightly confusing. He changed his position at some point. Recently, we had Dan Quayle saying that he would stand by his daughter if she decided to have an abortion. But the position of the administration and the Republican Party platform has been that women ought not to be allowed to have that choice.
So are we any clearer on the abortion issue at the end of this week?
What we're clear on is that the Bush family is troubled by the issue. And that, given Mrs. Bush's comments to Time magazine as well this week, she didn't even think it should be in the platform. And yet many Republicans think it's one of the litmus tests of who we are. The question of the affair is a trickier question,
yeah.
And Stone and I talked about it, and what you needed to see, apart from that question, was the way Stone very skillfully led up to it by raising the whole issue of family values and how do we define family values, and the question then of personal behavior and character and whether that is a legitimate issue in the campaign and in the arena of American politics. And then because this question has been raised, and I know that you probably have heard it in your office before as well about George Bush and whether or not he's had an affair, given how some of the Republican Party operatives have been encouraging continuing coverage of Governor Clinton's character and his alleged romantic liaisons outside of his family, then he just simply asked the question, the same question, by the way, that George Bush's son asked him 4 years ago.
Are you saying then, as Vice President Quayle said after Clinton was asked about his alleged affairs, let the people decide, give them the information and let them decide?
Yep. It's not an issue with which I am comfortable. I think it's overstated in both cases. I think that we've spent far too much time, all of us, on this issue. I think it's really a something between a man and his wife primarily, unless it begins to spill over to utter deceit and lying to the American people, or it in some way puts the president at some risk or jeopardizes national security.
Tom Brokaw is the host of the NBC Nightly News. He's getting ready for the Republican Party convention, which begins Monday in Houston. NBC and PBS will provide joint coverage of the convention as they did last month for the Democrats in New York. We'll take a short break and talk some more. This is Fresh Air. I'm speaking with Tom Brokaw, host of NBC Nightly News. Barbara Bush felt that Clinton was getting better coverage than her husband, and, well, and claim really an old claim that the press is just too darn liberal. Do you agree with that?
I think if you checked with Bill Clinton about 4 months ago, he would not have agreed with that. I think that it rises and falls, these cycles of coverage, and it depends on where they are. Is the press more liberal than the country, or more liberal than what? I'm not sure. I think that as individuals, the press may be slightly more liberal than mainstream Americans because of the nature of their lives, where they live, and what they bump up against. But I think that the political press in this country is really two things in most political years. I think it is eminently fair to both parties, and almost always dead wrong.
What do you think a convention can do to revive a struggling candidate and party?
Well, I think we had a very good example of that in New York. And when Bill Clinton was able to be in the clear, as it were, for a couple of months, get his act together, get his message together, and then turned out that he made what the American people thought was a good choice for vice president in Al Gore. And Gore made a strong impression on the country, and then Clinton came on and, in a well-orchestrated environment, was able to make what most people found to be quite a convincing speech. And remember, George Bush was able to do the same thing 4 years ago. He was trailing Michael Dukakis by a pretty desperate margin after the Democrats had gathered in Atlanta, and then Bush made the speech of his life in New Orleans and kind of reclaimed the turf.
He, of course, had Peggy Noonan helping him with that speech.
Yep.
Are you expecting...
Maybe she wrote it.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, are you expecting the second speech of his life?
It's not his strongest suit as a politician, and he knows that. I mean, this is no secret. The big speech. And whether or not he can do it twice, we'll just have to wait and see. And I know everybody will tune in NBC next week to find out.
Right. So who gives a better party, an after-party party, the Democrats or Republicans?
Oh, it's all the same. And the fact is, I mean, on that count, you can go back to what George Wallace said. You can put all these people in a gunny sack and shake them up, and when they came tumbling out, there wouldn't be a dime's difference between them. When it comes to giving parties, they all get pretty good parties, and they all have a good time. The people who show up at conventions are the political pros, the activists, and, many of them socially have great friends across party lines. I won't do this for your program, but I could put together a dinner party, a half Republican, half Democrat, and they would all know each other very well and all have stories one on the other and kind of pick up where they last left off.
Do you go to the parties or do you?
No, not. Well, I go some at the beginning because it's great. It's no secret, I suppose. It's like the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. You get to see all of your friends. You get to see all the big players in one room and kind of touch base and pick up the latest gossip and move around. Then when the convention begins, the party time winds down a lot more. The best single social convention I can remember was San Francisco. First of all, it was San Francisco. And then it was in the Western time zone. So we were done every night by about 9:15. San Francisco time. So we all repaired to a place called the Washington Square Bar and Grill. And it was owned by, it was a saloon owned by a pal of mine. And honest to God, the last night that we were there, there were people outside the Washington Square Bar and Grill hanging on the windowsills, peering in, because at one table, It was Walter Cronkite and his wife and Art Buchwald and assorted CBS cronies. At another table, it was Bob Strauss and the powers that be of the Democratic Party. At another table, it was Roone Arledge and David Brinkley and his whole crowd. At another table, I was sitting with Ben Bradley and Sally Quinn and Rick Kurtzberg from the New Republic and a group of my pals. Then there were senators and party activists all over the place, and it got to be kind of hilarious because the people on the outside looking in quite a joyful mood began doing kind of play-by-play. They started saying things like, oh, look, Walter has just ordered the Duckhorn Merlot.
See, I was feeling sorry for you having to cover this convention until now.
Well, I don't think it'll be quite, the ambience will not be quite as good, but, you know, there's good food to be had in Houston, great barbecue. There's a wonderful place called the Original Nymphas, which is a Southwest cooking, and it's just a good time. And these are interesting times in our country and in our lives, and we'll see how this party, which has always managed to in the last 15 years at least, to kind of get itself organized, can do it again.
Are we going to see you on Jay Leno again?
Probably, yeah. Try to restrain myself.
No, we enjoyed it very much. Tom Brokaw, thank you for joining us today on Fresh Air.
Okay.
Thanks.
My pleasure.
Tom Brokaw is the host of the NBC Nightly News. He will co-host, along with Jim Lehrer and Robert McNeil, PBS's and NBC's joint coverage of the Republican convention.